If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 48 through 54 will be the text that I'm going to read. And when you get there, if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Samuel 17, verses 48 through 54. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sheram, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, today for the reading of your word. And we thank you, dear God, that even in our lives today, we face many giants of different sizes and varieties. And Father, we thank you, God, that you are our protector. And God, you give us the strength each and every day to defeat these giants. And Lord, I pray that today as I speak this message, I ask Heavenly Father that every word will come straight from you, nothing from my thoughts or my own flesh. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to go back and kind of go from the first of chapter 17 and kind of go over. Now this sermon today is Watching Your Giants Fall. And as I said, there's a lot of things that people face in the world today that sometimes they seem to loom bigger than what they really are. You probably heard someone ever tell you, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Do you know that each and every one of us will face problems in this life? And do you know how many times we look at a problem and we make it way bigger than it really is? And there's things happens in our life, and we tend to worry and fret and fear day after day after day of the things that we have to face. Now, from my walk of faith, this is my stand on it, that I trust in the Lord God. And what I just read in Scripture, David was facing a giant, a Philistine giant, who stood between 9 and 10 foot tall. And Goliath was his name. And he had been provoking Saul and his army. And they were terribly afraid because the Philistines were such big people. Now, how many of you ever went through school and faced a bully? Somebody bigger than you? Now, I guarantee you that I went through high school, through junior high and high school, and I dealt with an individual who basically was a bully. I weighed 114 pounds. I was little. I couldn't fight my way out of a wet paper bag with a hole in the bottom. I just wasn't a very strong kid. And this guy was 6'3", 6'4", bigger than I was. And through junior high and high school, he picked on me a lot. And you know the thing my dad always told me? My dad said, when you come up against a bully, he said, don't be afraid and don't run. But he said, don't provoke it. He said, you stand your ground and you make your position known. Well, I did that quite a few times, and somehow it didn't seem to work. And finally, one day, I'd had enough. It was my junior year of high school. We were in the building trades program together, and this guy would not, he just persisted and persisted. And finally, one day, I got mad, and I stood my ground. I went against what my dad said, and I made my own action. But my action made a point and proved that I wasn't going to keep dealing with the junk that he was handing down to me. And you know what happened after that? My senior year, he never picked on me again. Because I showed him that dynamite can come in a little package when you get mad enough. And after our high school graduation, I ran into him one day at a McDonald's restaurant. And he was sitting there with his girlfriend, and this is how he introduced me. He said, Kim, I want you to meet Jim. He's a friend of mine from school. And I thought, wow, I'm a friend. Boy, this is great. So here, Goliath had been after Saul and his army. And now the Philistines were on one mountainside, and Saul and his army, they were on another mountainside, and they were separated by a great valley. And Goliath would come down day after day, and he would taunt Saul and his army, and they would run in fear because of this man's size. Now, we've heard of many stories in the Bible, especially when Jehoshaphat and his army were going to march to battle, and they were afraid because, you remember, their army had only been reduced down to about 300 or 400 men. But God told them, as you go to battle, I want you to sing and praise. And they sent the musicians before the fighters. And they marched boldly. And as they went to battle, they sang and they were praising God. And what they were doing, they were acknowledging God the Father as being their help. He would be their deliverer, their source of victory. And when Jehoshaphat and his army got to the battle site, guess what happened? The other army that had been there, the thousands of men, had turned their weapons against each other and killed one another. So when Jehoshaphat and his army got into the place where they were going to have battle, there was no war to be fought. So these men in Saul's army, though, had been afraid of the Philistines for some time now. And I'm sure that a lot of people, if they saw a guy about 9-10 foot tall who was clad with all this big heavy armor, I did a little study about Goliath, and he is actually 9 feet 9 inches tall. The coat that he wore to battle weighed 125 pounds. How many of us could put on a coat 125 pounds? And then he had a spear. And the head of that spear was about 15 pounds on that. How many of us could actually, you know, have the strength to carry all that, to wear that and go to battle? Well, Goliath, being 9 foot 9 inches, being as big of a man as he was able to wear this daily. See, he had physical strength. He had physical armor. And this is what I want you to keep in mind. And he had an appearance that he used to provoke fear into people. Now, these things that Goliath had, they're earthly, they're worldly, they mean nothing. See, the things of this world, Jesus said himself, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now see, back in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but they still had God the Father as their deliverer. But for whatever reason, Saul and his army were not looking to God. They were choosing to give up in fear and run away from the Philistine giant. And then what happens? Well, David hears about what's going on. And David's father, Jesse, had sent him with supplies to go feed Saul and the army. Now, some of David's brothers were fighting in this army. And they too were running from Goliath. And so here's little David, a young boy, probably maybe 14, 15 years old, who had done nothing but tend his father's sheep. That's what he'd done. And so he had no military experience. He had never fought in a battle. But yet when David heard about Goliath, and he had gone back home, and he told his father, basically, I need to go fight this Philistine giant. I need to go solve this problem, because basically David had reached a point where he was tired of hearing of Goliath being a bully. See, you and I, in this life today, we have problems that will come to us like a Goliath. There will be some kind of a giant. It may be a health issue. It may be a financial crisis. It may be a family situation. It may be something on the job. Whatever it is in life, the devil will bring something at us, and the devil will use his tactics of fear and lies and deceit to try and hold us all back in fear. See, the devil doesn't want us to fight. The devil knows that if we fight, that if we depend on God, then the devil knows that we have victory, and the devil knows that we will grow as Christian people, and that we will be able to do the job that God's called us to do. So Goliath had Saul's army all in fear, because he knew as long as he kept them provoked in fear, they wouldn't fight, and he'd have his way each and every day. So here comes along David, and David finally, he was packed up with some goods. He came back along to where the taunting had been going on for some time, and David had basically said, I'm here to fight the giant. And so, now here's what's funny. These people looked at David, they looked at his stature, and they said, you can't fight this giant. Well, you're just a measly little shepherd boy. I mean, what could you do? This man's 9'9". This guy has fought battles, and you have tended sheep, and you're going to come and fight this giant? What, are you crazy? How many times have we heard people come to us as Christians, and they will say, are you kidding me? Do you think that you could actually do something for God? Look at who you are. Are you sure that you could handle the job? You know, when I answered the call to preach 35 years ago, I mean, I didn't know how to stand in front of people and say a word. I couldn't even hardly carry on a conversation with Laura and Effie, you know. I mean, it would have been hard for me to, because I just wasn't a sociable person. Can you believe that? And God said, I want you to preach. And I said, no, Lord, I don't want to. I'm afraid. And I had people come to me and say, well, you've never had seminary. Well, you don't even know the Bible, so how could you preach? You just forget it. And my grandfather, who is a pastor, my grandfather said to me, he said, Jimbo, he said, God has called you to preach. You need to surrender to that, and you don't need to listen to any other voice of what's being said to you. So I said, okay, Lord, I surrender, and I'll preach your word, but you have to send me where you want me to go. You have to take care of everything, and you got to take over my fear of standing in front of people and speaking. And about 3-4 hours later, I get my phone call. Brother David Hancock says, Brother Jim, I'm sick. Can you preach for me tomorrow? And boy, did my heart ever set into going 100 miles an hour. I thought, I got to stand up in front of people tomorrow and preach. But you know, when I got to Indian Camp Baptist Church that Sunday morning, the fear subsided. The devil tried everything he could to get me to stay in one place. And I said, I've got something I've got to do for the Lord, and I'm going to do it. And I stood that morning, I had prayed, and I said, God, you have got to help me because I am scared. And exactly the time I got in that pulpit, and I started to read the scripture, the fear left, And I preached my first sermon in front of a group of people and never once was afraid. So see, if we lean on our own understanding, if we lean on ourselves, if we look to our own power to get through something, we're going to fall flat on our face. If David had gone to fight the Philistine giant and he relied on his own strength, he would have got his, well, just say it nicely, he would have got his hind end whooped, probably. But see, David went forward trusting in God. See, David had a supernatural power at work in his life. David had told, when they was making fun of him, David said, while I was tending the sheep, I killed, and this is with his bare hands, he said, I killed a lion and a bear. How many of us would kill a lion or a bear to protect something we were watching? But David was protected by God, and he had a power that could only come from a heavenly source. So David knew that if he could kill a lion and a bear, he knew he could take down the Philistine giant because he knew that God would go before him. Now, they told David, if you're going to fight this giant, then we need to put some armor on you. And, well, they tried a suit of armor and they put this helmet on David. And he was such a little boy. And they put this big sword on him that it was too heavy for him. And David basically said, I can't fight like this. I don't know what you're trying to prove here. But see, they were already undermining his ability to fight. They said, well, you got to have this armor. David says, no, I don't need all this at all. I don't need this stuff to fight this battle. David said to the giant, see, finally when the time came, Goliath came forth and David met him head on. And right before they had a battle, David, remember what he said to Goliath? You come to me with the spear and with the sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now see, David didn't have any big weapons. He didn't have a big sword. He didn't have no shield. But he was protected by the hand and the power of God Almighty. See, there's something about the name of God that does something when we speak it. And the devil is going to come at you, and the devil is going to shout things. He's going to say things to you to hold you back in a bondage of fear, so that you'll never walk with God, because God has a purpose and a divine work for each and every one of us. Now, if David had given into that fear and took off running, then the Philistine army, they would have had victory every day over these guys. But David said, enough is enough. We're going to go to battle and I'm going to fight you. And David declared, by the name and the power of God, that he was going to win. So I'm sure, you know, David got laughed at by Goliath. He made fun of him. But when David went to battle, he stepped up and he had taken 5 smooth stones out of a brook. And he had just a sling in his hand. And David stood before Goliath. And when he put that stone in, and he gave that sling a twirl, and that rock went forward, the Bible says that it sunk deep into Goliath's forehead. Now, did that rock get sunk into his forehead by David's power from his arm? No. See, what we need to see in this story in the Bible here is that the factual truth is God's power sunk that rock deep into Goliath's head, and Goliath fell straight down to face to the earth and fell flat on his face, and he was killed. See, God prevailed. And in our lives today, with everything that's going on, we need to be the kind of Christian people who stand up and say, I'm going to prevail because God's in my life. I've got a battle, you know, in front of me, but I'm going to prevail. Just like with our son. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And the devil would come along and the devil would say, He's going to stay mad at you. He will never forgive you. It's over. Forget it. And my wife and I would talk, you know, sometimes about calling him. And we would hear the Lord say, no, you let me control this situation. You let me have it. And look what God did. The devil was brought down with a mighty blow. And our son has been reconciled to us. And that's been the biggest blessing. So see, there's another battle that's been won. But we can never win a battle on our very own. There's a lot of people today who are faced with fear, mainly because of there's coronavirus, now there's monkeypox, there's financial strains and worries, people losing jobs, people that are having health crises, all kinds of things going on. And if we as Christians get to a point that we let the problem run our life, then you know what's going to happen to us? We will end up in defeat if we let it take a root hold. Because you know what happens when you plant something? It takes a root hold and it grows. And if we let fear and lies and all that come into our life, and if we let it take root, and if we let it grow, then it's going to smother out what God wants to do within us. We'll not listen to God's voice, but we will concentrate on the problem that lies in front of us. I think I told you that. Oh no, I was telling Milton about it one day. Milton came to me, and I'm not going to say what it was, but Milton came to me after church and said, look, I've got this situation, and it's been on me, and I don't know what to do about it. And my wife and I had just been through one, the same thing. And I said, Milton, I'm going to tell you what. I said, we went through the same problem. And I said, for nights, I would get up out of bed and go sit on the couch, and I would try to figure out how I'm going to solve this issue. What am I going to do? While I'm here, is God really going to be there for me? Is God going to come through? You know, maybe I did something and maybe God's mad at me. You know, all these voices coming from the enemy. All these words and all this fear. And finally I said, enough is enough. I'm in a battle here. And I've already got the victory because Jesus hung on the cross. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he had done what he came to do. That I know that at the end of my life, that there's victory. See, when I go into a problem, when I go into a trial, there's always a way into a trial. You know you're going to go through a trial, and you know that there is a way out. And you know what you can do in the middle of those trials? You can decide to take God's hand and walk through it and let God lead you and not be afraid. Or you can just go through the trial by yourself, depend on you, and never look to God one time. And when you come out of the trial, you're going to be just as defeated as when you went into it. So what God did for us in that situation, when it came down to it, the night my wife and I had to go to this appointment, I went in there with a boldness, and I had for days had this boldness. And I said, this is declared a victory. And everything that I had previously thought, when it came down to the moment of truth, what was put before my eyes was nothing what I had thought. And I looked at that and thought, That's what I had worried about for days at the first. This ain't nothing. And I saw God's hand at work. I saw God's mercy. I saw God's love and grace come to us in a time where we really needed Him. In this last week, I've seen God's hand of mercy and grace again. Each time that I pull it to the gas pump, it doesn't matter what that price has been on the board. I'm telling you that I have trusted and depended upon God, and I don't know in the supernatural how God works the way He does, but I can tell you every time I pull it to that gas pump, my gas needle has been down maybe a little further, but I have gotten the same amount of gas, and this is truth. And I've told Janine about this when I come home. I've only had to gas up once a week. When gas was lower, I was having to get gas twice a week. But once a week, I get gas, and it's the same amount of gallons, almost the same amount of money, and I've never had to spend any more than that. And gas prices have been higher, gas prices have been lower. And through the high prices, God has provided our need. So every time I've driven by a gas station, I don't look at those numbers and get all worked up in fear. What I do is I say, you know what, Lord? We're in a battle, and I am ready for battle, and I am armed with a weapon. And see, this is my weapon of choice right here. I have the Word of God. It's not a sling with five stones, but you know what I can do? I can read and I can memorize this Word. Study this Word and hide it in your heart so that you may use it in the day of battle. See, when we speak God's Word, it produces. And when we speak it in faith, it's got a lot of power. When we speak the name of Jesus, everything around us just seems to like come to a halt. And this is what I love about being a Christian. If I had to go through life on my own, I would fall flat on my face. I would have no hope. But you know what? By being a child of God, by reading this Word, by speaking it, by going to God in prayer, I am able to stand in battle. And sometimes when I feel like I'm too weak to stand, I have to drop to my knees. And I have to pray, and I have to say, God, I need you, Lord. I need you to help me to stand. How many of you remember when there was a battle going on, and as long as Moses had both of his hands up, the army was winning, and you know when he got tired and his hands would come down, there'd be two guys there to hold Moses' hands back up because they didn't want the army to lose, so they was there to support. So see, when I'm weak, I just say, God, I need you to hold me up right now, Lord. I need you to be my strength. And I say, even though it looks this way right now, to me, I know that you've got it all taken care of in the end. I know that you've got my needs met. All of this has worked out. It doesn't matter what we go through in life. What matters is, who are we going to go through it with? Are we going to go through it with ourselves? Or are we going to decide to take hold of God's hand and walk? You know, we have a great need in our world right now for Christians to get out of their comfort zone and start telling people about Jesus. Do you know you're never too old? You're never too young to be a witness, to serve. I think one of the greatest things I've seen, you know, a few months back, Effie and Laura had taken us through when they were getting ready for the big sale. And I saw all that stuff in there. And they had gone through, priced stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there. And I don't know where you got your energy at, but I'm telling you what, whoever was involved in this church in that, had this sale out here, and God blessed. And there was a lot of stuff sold, wasn't there, Effie? That's God. Now, if they would have relied on their own selves, they would have got weary and probably wouldn't have had a whole lot of people come. But see, when they prayed and asked God. And Janine and I were praying at home. We asked God to bring a lot of people here to buy stuff. And when we heard that they were selling stuff pretty fast, I thought, man, that's awesome. and on Bosque Hill Road, off the beaten path. So see, it doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the physical things. What matters is putting our eyes on God and trusting Him. See, David didn't need all the armor. David didn't need all of the military training and combat training. He just needed to trust in God, which he did. He needed to rely on God's strength and God's power, because God is the one who brought down the giant, not David. God brought that giant down. And the Bible says that David drew the giant's sword out of a sheath, and he killed him and took his head off. I thought, wow, man. David was a warrior. So whenever you're facing something in your life that looks like it's a giant, you remind your problem. You remind your circumstance. You tell the enemy, the devil, who's a liar, you tell him that your God is already victorious and that you're going to persevere by his power, not any other way. Now see, the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil's just a noisemaker. That's all Goliath was. And when David had enough of his big mouth, David said, it's time to take a stand. It's time to do something about this guy. I'm not going to run away in fear. And you know what happened to David? David became a king. A young boy became a king. God can do anything with anybody. So when you finally get tired of hearing the devil make his noise in your life, you got to come to a place and finally say, I've heard enough of your big mouth. It's time to shut his mouth. It's time to call out to God. And it's time to say, as Christian people, I have victory in this battle. Because at the end of the battle, God's going to get the honor, the glory, and the praise. Not me, not anybody here, not anybody at any other church or anywhere around this world. But God will get the praise. See, I couldn't do what I'm doing. I fight a lot of battles as a minister. There's people who watch a preacher. We live in a glass house, to say. And man, there's people ready to throw rocks at that glass house. People want to see preachers fall, and then they ridicule and poke and make fun when they do. Do I fail? Yes. Am I perfect? No way. When I get to heaven, I will be perfect. But until then, I got a lot of battles to fight. But you know who I choose to walk through those battles? Lead me? God the Father. And when I use that word, when I use this weapon, this is sharper than any two-edged sword, this word is. See, when God created everything, God spoke it into existence. When he created life, when he created the heavens and the earth and everything, he spoke it. And we have got to take God's word and start speaking it over our life. And when we do, it'll take a hold inside of us, and it'll grow. And we will be nurtured in this word, and we'll be strengthened, and we can stand up to anything. But we have to remember that God has to come first in all situations.